Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Straight Wives Talk Show, the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages for straight women who are married to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss the issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay man. So, good evening, Misty.
Good evening, Bonnie. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good, and I know that tonight we have a really important show that a number of people have written to us and asked us to do, and that's the show on the topic of What About the Children?
Yes.
And I know that this is the most prominent question when women are married with children that continuously comes up, because there are so many different aspects of this question with the children. And while the straight wife is first dealing with the whole issue of having a gay husband, there are so many fears and a lot of apprehension that goes on when it comes to the children. And I think that all of us who have had children or have children realize that this is a topic where there's no guidebooks on how to do it right. You know, every situation is different. Every husband or gay father is different. How they handle the situation after the divorce is different. And there's a whole bunch of questions and situations that we have to deal with that other people don't have to deal with that don't have gay husbands. And I think, Misty, that's one of the reasons why these marriages are so much harder to end, because of a lot of issues that people don't realize that we have to deal with. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. There's so many layers. I call it layers of complication that so many other divorces I do not think have to go through, especially in regards to the children. There's so many things to consider when it comes to the children.
That's so true, and I think that you said it so perfectly, layers of complexities. Just like in the marriage, when we say there are layers of complexities, in the aftermarriage, there are also just as many layers of complexities that women have to deal with. And, of course, the most... One single most question that keeps coming to my attention is, when do we tell the children? Mm-hmm. And tonight we're going to be very lucky. In a little while we're going to have on several guests, and including one young woman who is the child of a gay man who's in her late teenage years, and she's going to talk to us about her experiences and how this has affected her. So we're looking forward to having some excellent guests on our show tonight, and if you would like to call in and give us your input, we'd be more than happy to have you do that. And, Misty?
Yes.
Are you there with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. So one of the things that, you know, I tell our listeners that if you would like to call and ask a question, please write down our number. It's area code 646-716-4893. During this broadcast for the next hour and a half, you can also email me questions if you prefer not to call. And my email address is bonkaye@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And if you would prefer to just call in a question, that's fine. So let's see our first guest right now. Hello? Hello? Can you hear us? I know we have a guest trying to get through. Hello? I think we have a caller on the air. Are you there with us? Well, I think our caller's having problems with her phone connection.
I don't hear anything on my end.
Okay. Well, maybe our caller can call back. And, okay, well, we'll keep talking about the issue anyway until our caller does call back. And I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the questions that do come up when it comes to, you know, the children. And would you like to talk about some of the questions that do come up, Misty?
Wow. Like you said, there's so many. And I think the most question I get when working with wives is, when do you tell the children? And, you know, there's so many things to take into consideration. Like you said earlier, there's no cut and dried answer to this. There's a lot of things to consider, and there are a lot of options. And I find that the
voice is coming in right now. Hold on one second.
Good.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because we couldn't hear you.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Who are we talking to?
My name is Kathy.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
No, it's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah,
are you,
that's
Kathy?
Okay.
Good.
I'm okay.
And would you like to bring up some issues about the children?
Oh, good, okay.
I guess the only thing that I would like to say about telling the children that I think you really have to be upfront and honest with them from the beginning.
Uh-huh. And is it bad for you?
Yeah, I definitely made my ex-husband tell my children probably within 2 months of me knowing that he was gay, or absolutely, like, confirming everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 4 kids together. And I think it's better that they knew up front instead of me being part of a lie that he had been for years and years.
Oh, how old were your children when he told them?
Oh, they're still young now. This has all been within the past year. They're 9, 10, 11, and 13.
Uh-huh. And do they understand what it means?
I think my older two understand it 100%. The younger two probably don't get it as far as from a truly homosexual standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he lives with this other man and they go there and stay there when I go to work, you know, it's better for them to be open and honest than find out years later or find out from neighbors or other kids' friends or whoever.
Mm-hmm. And are they questioned, you know, do they feel funny about it at all?
Well, my oldest daughter's sitting there with me listening to the radio show.
Okay.
I don't know that she thinks, it's, you know, it doesn't feel funny, but I think she'd rather know the truth. You know, she's very an honest person, so.
Mm-hmm. Is your daughter willing to talk to us?
And she said no.
No? Okay.
Well,
maybe I could ask her a couple of questions. Tell her to just turn down the computer a little bit so she doesn't echo
back. Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
But, for instance, does she tell her friends about it?
Yeah, all of her friends. All the friends know.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was the hardest thing in the beginning, was to have their friends know, because, you know, we had done everything as a family, like, for years and years in our town, and then all of a sudden, he was, you know, with this man. And it wasn't just, oh, I'm gay, it's now I'm with this man, and I'm going to live with him forever. It was all very sudden, and so I think that was hard for them. But I think if you hide it from your kids and make it seem like a horrible thing, or then it's going to make them feel repressed, or they're not going to be able to think what, say what they want to say.
Well, I really do agree with that thinking, Kathy. You know, I think that really honesty is always the best policy in this situation. And, you know, I think people have to deal with it. You know, first the wife has to deal with it. But once she does deal with it, I think it's really important that the children do know, because it's better to find out from the parents than to find out in some other way. And I think that when children find out from outsiders or news stories in the newspapers, that that's so much worse. And I think you're absolutely right in doing that. I mean, and your children are accepting of it, right?
They have to be accepting of it. He's their father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as, to me, it just vindicates all the feelings that I had all the years that there was always something wrong. To me, it makes me 100% right in the fact that he was treating me badly in order to blame me for wrecking a marriage, when in reality, it was truly him all along. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that that's pretty common for this, from what I read. That's pretty common for these kind of men. They hide it, they hide it, they hide it. They blame everybody else. And, you know, I was the marriage wrecker. I found somebody else. And, you know, so he went around telling everybody that I was wrecking his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, he had other men. You know, that's a fact. And
right. I always say that in these marriages, it doesn't take two to tango, it only takes one.
Yeah.
And the one is the homosexual one, because there's no way you can ever save a marriage when you're married to a gay man. I mean, he doesn't want to be there. He wants a man. He doesn't want a woman.
Well, it's funny, but it's funny how they try to hide that, and you believe that you're really wrecking this person's life, you know. And then I've seen other women, oh, they take antidepressants. Like, I've been there, done that. Like, I'm a nurse. I have so moved on in my life, but when you're living through that, it makes it very hard, because you think, oh, maybe I am doing, like, maybe I'm really crazy, maybe I am really ruining somebody's life.
Yeah, so what we say in our group is that they're really excellent at what we call gaslighting you.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but a lot of people haven't seen that movie Gaslight, where they just make you think that you're going crazy.
Yeah.
And when you keep repeating this over and over again, when things are going wrong in your marriage and your husband's telling you, well, it's your fault, and you're trying as hard as you can and it's still never good enough, you start believing that maybe it is my fault. Maybe I'm not good enough. And how long
but
were you married all together, Kathy?
14 years prior, right, when we were divorced, but we had separated 2 years prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were friends. You know, we hung out. We did things with the children. We spent a lot of time together, even though we lived in separate places. We even went to our shul place together
mm-hmm.
with our kids. And it's the second that I met somebody else and he was hiding who he had met, he then started to blame me.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was blatantly obvious that it would be okay for him to meet somebody, but not for me, because he still wanted to maintain the facade that he was perfect and I was ruining the whole marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when I found out 100% and this man moved back to our town and they were going to move in together, you know, I literally called him on the phone and said, you need to be at my house today at 5 o'clock. We're telling the children.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you can't do that. And I said, well, I can. I will. I'm not going to be part of your lie. I'm not going to have them come back to me 3 and 5 years from now and say, you knew and you lied to me too. What kind of mother are you?
I think that's definitely a very important issue. And as hard as it is to have to tell your children that news, it's really an important news to tell them.
Well, the sooner they know it, the sooner they'll get over it and be able to move on and be able to adjust. And, you know, it's always been an adjustment for us for, you know, at least a year now, over a year.
And is your ex-husband being responsible to them as a father?
As good as he can after he's found his newfound life, if you understand what I'm saying. Like,
I actually do understand, Kathy, because once they find that newfound life, that's always the priority.
It is his priority. And I hope that someday, you know, the kids don't say, you blew me off for so many years, or that whole first year was horrible, you put me second. I mean, you know, my kids do see it, and they
and in many cases,
definitely want me to do everything for them.
It's just the normal way that it is, you know, once the men are out there and they feel they've missed out on that portion of their life, then that portion of their life becomes the utmost important part of their life, especially, I think, during the first year. I think once they're out there for the first year, in some cases, you know, they settle down and they realize what the priorities should be. But not all of them. Some just keep going. Some never turn
back.
Yeah, I
do see that. I mean, but I think that it's a cowardice way out. I think that, you know, my children were there long before you decided to come out of the closet, you know, because I do not believe that these men just are figuring out they're gay. I think that they all know they're gay all along. They just lie about it and pull the whole facade. And
well, I think
a lot of times
they're lying to themselves, Kathy, and that's because they don't want to be gay. They want to be straight, and they're hoping that if they love us enough and have children with us and a family and all the trappings that go with that, that those nagging gay feelings are going to go away, and we know that they don't. They just surface later on. And there's no way you can suppress them indefinitely.
I just don't understand what a nagging gay feeling is. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you either have a nagging gay feeling or you don't. To me, it's black and white. Like, I don't understand why you would have to, I mean.
Well, it's kind of like,
for God's sake, he's a florist.
Have a gay feeling, but you're hoping that it will go away.
I guess. I don't know, but.
And some men develop it later. How long, what age did you get married?
I was 28.
Well, by that time, he should know it.
He was a florist. He worked in an entire gay industry prior to us getting married.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it was all just a cover for him to financially get where he wanted to be today, which was a business that we started. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, financially, he really gained from knowing me. I, you know, I have a decent career, and my family, you know, certainly provided us with money. And I feel like once he got what he wanted, it was like, well, now I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Well, is he being responsible to you and the children now as far as financially?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's really important, you know, as far as doing the right thing. I mean, when they do the wrong thing, at least they can try to make it up by being emotionally supportive and financially supportive to the family.
Yeah.
And at least he watches the kids while you're working, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which is really good, because a lot of men won't even do that. So,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the worst of situations, at least there's some redeeming qualities there.
Yeah, there really are, I guess, but it's just, you know, it's sometimes hard to see them because of other issues, you know what I mean? Like, it is hard to see them sometimes, even though I'm sure he does have redeeming qualities. You know, it's hard to get past the you lied for all this time kind of thing, for me anyway.
Well, that's going to take time, and you know what? As a constant reminder, because when you have children, there's no way you can just say goodbye. You're stuck with that person for the rest of your life. you know, that person is the father of your children. So there's no way to avoid, you know, having that contact. And
I feel I have four girls. So to me, I think God gave me four girls because it's easier for girls to accept this. I can't even imagine somebody who has a 15 or 16 year old son, how hard it would be for that, you know, because I do work in a busy emergency department, and I have seen attempted suicides of young teens who, and truly one of them, the woman had no idea what she was saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
She turned around and she said, "Well, his dad is gay, and this is why he's this way." And
well,
I turned around and said, "You've got to be kidding me." Like, I was in the same situation.
I think it's much harder for boys, and especially because they question their own sexuality.
Yeah.
And, more so than I think a girl would. You know, while they're teenagers. And
what's amazing to me is how many of us there are.
Huh?
Yeah, I said it's amazing how many of us there are, how many women just like me, just like you. You know, the more people that I tell, and I do, I tell people, they're like, just another divorce. I'm like, well, it wasn't actually just another divorce. Let me tell you what happened. Like, I tell people, and it's amazing to me how somebody says, oh, my sister's neighbor, that happened to her. Or
absolutely.
My
more
cousins.
And more people find out
it's
about
amazing
it.
To me that there are so many.
There are millions of
women
us out there.
Yeah.
What area do you live in? What city?
I live right outside of Philadelphia.
Okay. So you're my neighbor. I'm in Philadelphia, too.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Right in Philadelphia.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of it depends also where you live, because in some parts of the country, you know, like in Philadelphia, it's a more open city, liberal. You're able to live with this. But, you know, certainly places in the South or the Midwest where there's so much homophobia, you know, it's really difficult for the children.
Right.
Because they're judged by their father's sexuality, unfortunately, because we live in a primarily homophobic society as it is. But I think the best thing is that you have to deal with this all on your own and, you know, also be fair about it with the girls, you know, and try to make them love their father, because that's an important issue to me. And how many
I think they do. I just think it's, you know, some of the his personality change, I should say, and truly was a complete personality change in a year and a half time. When we were separated, he was still kind of the same guy he was. Once all of this occurred, his personality changed. I said I could wake up a tall Chinese woman tomorrow, and I would be as different as the short white woman that I am today. You know, it's amazing how much they change their personality, their attitude, everything about life once they find their quote-unquote happiness.
I know. I always feel like it's the gay alien that came and stole your husband away.
Yeah.
In many cases, a totally new person appears, and you have no idea who he is.
Right.
Nor would you ever suspect that's who he could be. So that's why I say for the wife, it's so many different layers of adjustment that we have to make, or as Misty was saying, so many. How did you phrase it, Misty?
Layers of complication or complexity, I think is what I said.
Right, the complications of, you know, the separation and divorce, things that we have to, you know, do that other people don't when they don't have a gay husband.
And the one thing that's been very hard is, you know, I put the children in counseling initially, and, like, the oldest one didn't want to go, a couple of them didn't want to, two would go, two would speak. So I took them out of it, and then about 8 months later, you know, I took them back, and he agreed to send them. And then all of a sudden, when he found out what they were saying, the counselor called him and told him what each one said or whatever they said. He said, well, I'm not signing for it. I'm not going to agree to that since we have legal joint custody. So I actually have to go to court for them to get any kind of help or, you know, counseling for them, because he won't agree, because if they say anything negative against him, he doesn't like it.
Well, that's really very selfish of him, I will say.
It's very selfish. And
you know,
the needs
of the children
should
always be number one. And, you know, he made the choice to have the children. He needs to do what's best for them.
I agree. I agree. I mean, you know, I certainly will get what is best for my children, what they need, you know. I just, you know, I kind of wish that happy guy that was there 28, you know, when he was 28, like that personality would come back and maybe it would be better for us. But, that's never going to happen.
No, that man is gone. But you know what? Parts of him may return one day, you know, because a lot of times as the years pass, you know, a lot of that does come back.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, will be before it's too late for him to have a good, solid relationship with the children. You know, the first year, as I said, is the worst, especially when they're involved with a new love. I mean, that's what their life is about. So, you know, they're looking out for themselves. You know, we often say, I think Misty will confirm with you, that it's all about them. And, you know.
Oh, that's obvious.
you know, that's what their first concern is, because once they get out into this new world, it's like, you know, the kid in the candy store, they want to have, you know, something that they haven't had, and they just go crazy there. But, you know, I've met so many really good, responsible gay fathers through the years, and, you know, I just can't say what makes one father responsible versus another. But I have met wonderful gay fathers who have been wonderful and nurturing to their children and supportive emotionally and financially. So you never know. They might surprise you, and I hope in your case.
Yeah, I know.
Case. But, Kathy, I really want to thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thank you so much. I've never even listened to the show. I literally, it's the first time I listened to it.
Do you get my newsletters?
I do, yeah. That's how tonight I was like, I actually have off. I have time. I'm going to listen. And so I have to call in because it's about the children. And to me, everything's about my kids. You know, making sure they are emotionally okay, they are physically okay, and that they're, you know, they understand what's going on and that they
still have that. Well, thank you for the mother, because
healthy attitude.
Exactly. With you for their mother, there's no way they're going to miss. So thank you so much, and listen to us again and call in again.
I will. I'll listen. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Question. I'd like to ask a question, please. If you've not hung up yet, Kathy. This is Missy.
Yes.
I would like to know, I have a lot of parents, and I think Bonnie will agree with this, to ask me, when the children do tell their friends, like you said your children did, how did
mm-hmm.
their parents react to that?
Like the parents,
how did the friends react?
Like,
The parents?
Parents
yes.
react. Yes, I get that question a lot.
To be honest with you, it was kind of like a few people were not surprised because they had seen a physical change in him over the past 2 years when we had separated. They saw an attitude change. Like a lot of people came to me and kind of said, I can't believe you didn't know, or I thought that, you know. And then there's other people who are just angry and can't believe he would hide it and rip apart a family the way he has. Like, that's, there's two different thoughts. Like, people either knew it or they're mad.
But are
so
they
there's really no
children,
in between.
Are they stopping their children from playing with yours at all?
No. Okay. No, I will ask my daughter that. Have any people's parents ever told you that your friends can't hang out with you because your dad's gay or not good to your father's? No, my oldest daughter says no, that that's never happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Okay.
I'm glad. I'm so
that.
Glad to hear that. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again, Kathy, and we hope you'll call
Thanks.
Us again.
I will. Say thank
hi
you.
Say hi to your daughter for us.
I will. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Take care.
Thank you, Kathy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, Misty. I think that was really, you know, a really important call to get.
That was a great call.
And I think that
call.
Would... Women also have to realize, and I bring this up to them, that while they're going through their own mourning, grieving, healing, whatever phase you want to call it, you know, it's so hard to sometimes keep that anger away from the children. And it's really important, when possible, to vent elsewhere. Because, you know, it's so important to realize that one of the things that children really do take on whatever anger and frustration that their, you know, mother is having.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing you don't want to do is make the child feel bad about the father. And I don't
Absolutely.
Think a lot of women quite understand this concept because of the fact that they're hurting so much themselves. So, you know, the good thing is that when you have a positive attitude, even if you don't want to, you know, say it, like I say, you might want to feel like screaming out, but to keep that from the kids is really good. We do have another call coming in. Let's see who's going to be with us. Hello.
Hello. This is Nancy.
And Amy.
Hi, Nancy and Amy. How are you?
We are well, thank you.
Good.
Like
We're
you
so glad you could join us tonight.
Our pleasure.
And you're calling from where?
We're calling from South Florida.
Okay. And
I am the ex-wife of the gay ex-husband, and Amy is my 21-year-old daughter. So she is available to give the perspective of the actual child of all this.
Well, before she does, and hi, Amy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Nancy, could you tell us a little bit about your situation, how
Sure.
this evolved, when it happened?
Sure. We were married very young, 21 years old. And we had two children, and we had been married about 23 years, and never a hint of any problem or anything. And then my then husband told me that he wanted a divorce, and I was shocked, and I was very upset, and I tried talking to him about it for several weeks, and then he finally confessed that the reason that he wanted the divorce wasn't really just because he no longer loved me, as he had been saying, but because he was gay. And
and you were totally blindsided by
totally,
that, is that correct?
Completely blindsided. I had absolutely no clue, not even a thought of that.
And how long had you been having problems before this news came out?
Well, there were, you know, issues throughout the years, but nothing that would indicate that that was a problem. Just we had been working together, let me do the math here, about 6 or 7 years by that time, and there were problems just working with a spouse, so a lot of it was attributed to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
too much time together.
Yeah, power struggle, things like that, control
mm-hmm.
issues. So, you know, it was, I thought, a typical up-and-down kind of marriage. You know, we had some moments were better than others, but, you know, I was always trying to make him happy, and it seemed that it was difficult at times. I mean, obviously, looking back, I can see why I couldn't make him happy, but, I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept toiling away year after year after year, trying to do that. And yeah, then I was just totally blindsided. And my kids at the time were 15 and 18. And we waited a while to tell them about their father. We waited for my son had started college, so we waited for him to come home in the spring so that they would have each other to turn to.
Mm-hmm.
And then my well, at the time, still husband, but, you know, soon to be ex, sat down and told the kids. And it's been rather difficult ever since, to be very honest.
For both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Not
for both your son and your daughter?
Yeah. My son doesn't really talk about it much, and
mm-hmm.
Certainly not with me, or actually, I guess, with his sister.
Yeah.
He's kind of, I think he's just, my take is I think he is just trying to avoid really dealing with it. It's been now 6 years, so I would like to think that he's going to have to deal with it. But right now he just has a kind of a very, what's the word, like a shallow kind of relationship with his father, just, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how their relationship is now.
Yeah, it's pretty
much. Was it a close relationship before?
No, not really. Now, my husband wasn't really close to either of my children. I think he was very busy immersing himself in his struggle and his what I think is a hidden, you know, second life. He really didn't. He was not really a part of the family. You know, all those years, and I was definitely the dominant person in terms of doing the parenting and everything.
Uh-huh.
So, He really did not develop much of a relationship with either child.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when he left, he expected there to be instant relationships. you know, like one of those little sponge toys, you know, you buy when you're a kid and you put a little water on and it springs to life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like that. But that wasn't a very realistic expectation, and it didn't play out
that way. Let me ask you this, Nancy. After you found out the news that he was gay, how long did the two of you remain together?
No, not long. I mean, he told me that in October, and he moved out of the house in December.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, they weren't sleeping in the same bedroom.
Right.
Okay, so emotionally, it was over.
Oh, yeah. And he was very excited. He was very excited to move on and move into his new lifestyle. And yes,
leave
he was
us
just,
all behind.
Yeah, he was quite exuberant as a... one of the therapists that I went to see told me.
So, Amy, at that point, you were 15 years old?
Yeah, a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you remember the day it happened?
Yes, I remember that night. I remember we went out to dinner. It was something that we had been doing, the three of us, my brother, my dad, and I, you know, since we found out that he was leaving, every time Eric was in, we would go out. So it was just a normal night for us, we thought. And then he came back, and we came back to the house, and he sat us down, and he basically started crying and just told us that he was gay. And then I started crying, and my brother was dumbfounded and silent, and we didn't really know what.
So in other words, you found out they were getting divorced first?
Yeah, we found out they were getting divorced in October, and then he didn't tell us until April.
So didn't you wonder why they were getting divorced after all those years together?
Yeah, I mean, I remember thinking, or saying, actually, when they told us they were getting divorced, I turned to my dad and said, well, is there another woman?
Uh-huh.
And now looking back on that, it's just so ironic and so humorous, and you're like, no. I don't know how my mother kept a straight face at that point, because she knew that he was gay.
Amy, let me ask you this question, because this often comes up, that so often, now, not in your case, you're saying that the children know first. Did you have any clue, any hint at all?
I actually did, but
mm-hmm.
more so because a friend of mine had said the only reason somebody would leave someone like your mother because she's so great would be because he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought about it, I laughed, and then we found a, which my mom is still upset about, she was so careful, she had bought, I think it was one of your books,
okay.
And she had the receipt laying next to the computer, and I saw the receipt, and I called my brother right away, and I was like, what, do you think Dad's gay? And we talked about it, and then he said something to my mom, because he didn't want her to think that I found it, because she knew that it would, or he knew that she would freak out if I found it, but not as much if he found it.
Uh-huh.
Right, and then I, this is now Nancy speaking, and I made up some story about, you know, that I was, you know, at my wit's end, and I was exploring every possibility I could think of, and it was just some crazy idea I had. And, you know, I don't know if he bought it or not, but we were just pushing off, you know, for time until that, you know, they were together for the summer. So
in other words, you were just waiting for your son to return.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But before that, I don't think that Amy had any idea, you know, before, like, in the years growing up.
Mm-mm.
Eric, I always wonder if maybe he might have known something, because he had some real difficulties personally the year before my husband said he was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never actually asked him this, but my therapist thinks that maybe he may have sent something.
Nancy, I don't mean to get too personal with you, but in the aftermath, in the aftermath or right afterwards, did he admit to you how long he'd been, you know, been part of the gay life?
No, not at all. No, I actually had asked him if I had to get tested, and he reassured me absolutely positively not. No, nothing like that happened. And then I thought about it for a very short period of time and thought that I must be out of my mind, and of course I better go get tested, so I did. And then I mentioned it to him, and he said, oh, good, I did too.
Oh, great.
Yeah, which was, that was, I remember that was the exact moment that I went from being in shock to becoming very angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew he was messing with my health.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and just how unfair and selfish of him to lie to me about that, of all things.
And yeah,
but
you can mention
also,
that for other women who are listening to this show, because so many times they believe their husbands.
Yes, do not believe
them. And they
tell
them, I've never done anything. This is, you know, I haven't acted on it yet.
Right, right.
I just have these feelings, and nothing's happened. But
yeah, they seem to think that, you know, that's not going to hurt quite as much, which I, you know, who knows? It's also hurtful that, you know, I don't think lying anymore is helping anybody. But, yeah, I would recommend to anybody out there that they go and get tested, because the guy definitely could be lying. It happened to me, and I was with him for 25 years at that point. And
well, looking back, we figured out different instances that could be or completely were him acting on those impulses, or however you want to phrase it.
Right.
Well,
right.
Can you tell me some of those instances, Amy, because we'd like to know?
Well, didn't he get hepatitis C?
Yeah, he got to hepatitis C very mysteriously. No explanation whatsoever.
I think that's a really good sign if women find that their husbands have a disease, like hepatitis,
or
any kind of sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah.
And that was when I was very young, because I remember having to get, I had to get the shot.
Yeah, we all
had
to get the vaccine.
The vaccine. And then there was one time when my brother was in the hospital and my dad was in Vegas and he missed his flight that morning.
He was staying at a hotel for just like a few hours because of the flying from Vegas to here. You can only get a late flight, so he was at a trade show, whatever. So his deal was he was going to go in a hotel and just rest and then leave the hotel like at 10 at night. And lo and behold, he called the next morning, and I thought he was calling from the airport here, and he was actually calling from the airport in Las Vegas. And the real proof of the pudding was that he felt so badly about missing his plane that he actually sent me flowers, which he never did. So that was clearly
a
so
guilt-driven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I since then, when I look back on that whole episode, I know for sure that had to be what was happening at the time.
So when he finally did tell you that he was gay, did he say it was just happening at that moment, or that he hadn't acted on it yet, but he wanted to?
He said he hadn't acted on it yet. He said he'd been in therapy which I knew he had been in therapy, but I had no idea that was what the subject matter was.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd been in therapy for many years trying to, deal with how to come out. He did tell me at some point, I don't know if it was right when he first told me that he was gay, but it was within those first few months that he had actually thought he was gay even before he met me.
Mm-hmm.
And that he had spoken to his father about it, and his father had told him basically that he wasn't allowed to be gay. And
when did he tell you that?
I think he told me that like within a month after telling me that he was gay. And
okay.
He gave me way too much information. He from as far as I'm concerned, when I look back on it, there was a lot of information that he gave me that I really wish he hadn't, because he really pretty much obliterated my whole marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It became very clear that he knew the whole time.
He told you between October and April, when you were able to tell your children,
mm-hmm.
was that a hard secret for you to live with?
Oh, it was horrible. Yes, very much so. Yeah, because we hadn't told our children yet, I hadn't told anyone else,
mm-hmm.
yeah, including my parents,
mm-hmm.
because I did not want my kids to find out from anyone else. So
mm-hmm.
it was terrible. I mean, I couldn't really tell anyone the real reason we were getting divorced. And, it's that old saying that you have where I had to go join him in the closet.
Now, did he at any point say to you he doesn't want the children to know?
No, actually, at one point, I found out in a very convoluted way that he was actually planning to go behind my back and tell the kids sooner than when we had planned.
Right, and I just want to say a little note here for women who may be listening or men who may be listening. I know other men who do the same thing. The wives aren't ready for the children to know the information because they haven't really absorbed it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the kind of news that both parents need to tell.
Yeah.
You know, why should the wife have to be excluded from this news? And first,
unfortunately, the husband, and I remember Alan saying this, thinks that it's, it's their thing. You know, this is my situation. And they forget that as soon as they get married and then have and or have kids, it's no longer just their situation.
Exactly.
They've now involved others. And a lot of them are very narcissistic and don't want to recognize that fact, but that is the truth. And, the decision of when to tell the kids and how to tell the kids has to be a joint decision.
Because these are my kids. A lot of these guys just want to blurt it out as soon as they're ready to come to terms with it.
Right. They want to cleanse their slates and, get their new life all going full speed ahead. Right.
And the wives haven't even had time to absorb it or
exactly.
to deal with it.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden they have to deal with the aftermath of telling the children on top of it.
Right. And there's different reasons why you might want to wait. There's, like you said, I mean, just there's a whole process going on.
Right.
And
you have to first be able to understand it before you can blurt that out to your children.
Right. Exactly. A lot of the women are still, the deers in the headlights.
I guess in a way it was good your son was away in college.
You know what? You're probably right. You're probably right because he probably would have blurted it out.
Immediately.
You're probably right. That was the only thing that kept him somewhat under control. But, yeah, that day, I remember that. It was a very bad day when I heard that, and I was so angry that he would go behind my back. And, you know, it was something we had discussed at length.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, he just had that, wanted to just, that was when he wanted to tell them, and it wasn't.
And he didn't tell you ahead of time that he was doing it, right?
No. But I ended up, I did end up being able to stop it from happening, so.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, Amy, let's talk to you a little bit now, 3 years later, or 6 years later, I'm sorry, since this all happened.
Yes.
And how has it affected your relationship with your father?
I mean, that's a really hard question for me because I never really had a relationship with him beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But, and when he left, that's when he all of a sudden wanted to be Father of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Or Father of the Lifetime. But he's always calling me and, you know, really always wants to be with me, wants to be part of my life. And he was never part of my life, he wants to, like, get in, but there's no room for him. I don't feel any connection with him.
Now, through this time, has he had a boyfriend?
Yes, he has a boyfriend now.
Does he want you involved with his boyfriend?
He does. He wants me to meet his boyfriend, and I am not ready for that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I go to school in Chicago, so. And his boyfriend lives in Cincinnati, and he asked me if I was ready to meet him. Him and his boyfriend were thinking about coming to Chicago, and I said, you know what, I'm really not ready yet to meet the boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And he said to me in that conversation, well, how do you know if you're ever going to be ready? It's like having a baby. How do you know if you're ever going to be ready to have a baby?
Uh-huh.
Which, those are obviously two completely different things, and this is something that I know I'm not ready for. I know that I don't want to see him with another man.
Yeah.
Now, would it bother you if he had a girlfriend?
I don't know. I don't think it would. It depends on if he had a girlfriend, he would be a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? If he was straight, he wouldn't be the person that he is.
Let me just interject too, because Amy has made a very good point to me. About a year or two after Alan had left, and she said to me at one point, because I was encouraging her to, you know, have a relationship with Alan, and she said she was very angry at him and she said, you're not the only one he lied to, Mom, and you're not the only one he left.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really very true.
Well, when you say you're not the only one he left, but I think that could happen in a straight marriage.
Yeah, that could happen
so.
In any scenario, right, but the part about the lying, you know, he really did.
Just as much as her marriage was a sham, my childhood was. My conception was.
Your perception of a relationship was.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that you and I have discussed before, Amy, that I think maybe you can make this clear to people, is how it's affected you as far as trusting in a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in my first relationship now, and it's really strong now. It took me quite a long time to open up to him. But I finally have, and things are going really well. But it took a really long time for me to be able to trust him. And the fact that my dad is the one that did that to me, it's just.
Well, is that because he was living a lie, and now you have to worry about every man you're with?
Yeah, and it's also just I don't trust people in general anymore because it's just so hard because I was hurt so much. I mean. This is something that I've said a lot in the past, is that your father is supposed to be the man that you compare every man to.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do that.
Do you think that he wasn't there for you emotionally because he was just struggling with himself?
He wasn't there for me emotionally because he's a narcissist.
Right, but do you think that he was a narcissist? Is that a gay thing, or it could have been that you were straight? Or do you think that his thinking was just not going in the same direction as a straight father would have?
I don't know.
Because I know that, you know, certainly a gay man cannot be a successful husband because he's gay. And a gay man doesn't belong with a straight woman, period. So a lot of times they're blaming things on the wife, you know, that are the faults of the marriage because they don't have a conception of what the marriage is supposed to be because they're in a relationship where they don't belong. So they never have the same kind of emotional attachment to a woman. You know, they can't understand what being in a marriage is about because they really don't belong there and understand how to conduct one. So I'm just wondering if, you know, he was so involved with his own issues that maybe that's why he wasn't as emotionally attached to you.
I think that that's a very strong possibility.
Yeah.
I think that he was just from the get-go. I think that he knew he wasn't making the right decisions and the right choices. And it was just, he was getting in deeper and deeper.
Also, Amy, I certainly hope you don't take this the wrong way either, and if you could be honest about this. But after you found out that your father was gay, and I know that it was probably a shock to you on many different levels, but at any point was the level that you were questioning your own sexuality because of this?
No. No, I've always been pretty comfortable in my own skin.
Right, but did you ever think that maybe this will happen to me later?
No.
Okay.
The one thing that Amy had in her, I think that helped her a lot, was that she's involved in
theater,
and she's been around gay people all her life. And
yeah.
So I think that she didn't really have, you know, a lot of
negative feelings towards gay
people.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think boys have a really hard struggle with that, more so than girls do.
Yes. Yeah, that's very possible, and I would love to ask my son that question, but I know he wouldn't answer it, so unfortunately he's not. I think that's the other thing. I think in general males are not as open, you know, with communicating.
Right.
As
absolutely.
Females. So I think it is harder for the, I think it's very difficult for sons in this situation. I just think in all ways. I mean, it's mortifyingly embarrassing, I'm sure, you know, to their friends, you know, to find out that their father is, you know, excuse the term, but it's the term that everybody uses, you know, is a fag.
Yeah,
and
well,
that,
I think,
you know,
it is. I think it's an embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
Because just the way society has labeled people and made people.
Yeah, and with guys especially, I mean, that's what they use that term as, you know, like a put down all the time. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, there's just a lot of that in their banter and in their culture, and I can't imagine.
Well, that brings me back to this question, Amy. Do your friends know?
Yeah, all of my friends know. Now it's like, you know, oh, you didn't know my dad's gay? Yeah, let me tell you this funny story.
Okay.
But in the beginning, I was very careful about who I told. I didn't tell my best friends until at least a week or two after the fact.
Did you feel embarrassed at all?
Yeah. Yeah, to know that that's where I came from was a gay man and a straight woman. It's just still completely bizarre to me.
It is.
Yeah, totally.
And I think we have a very hard time understanding that concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like some crazy, crazy, weird soap opera.
Well, Nancy, let me ask you, now that Amy's told us that, you know, she did tell her friends, do you think your son has told his friends?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he told his friends, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think he's the same way with it now.
And
you don't know my dad was gay?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think it's become almost like a, you know, an interesting, quirky family story, you know.
Right. Well, he's older now, too.
Yes, he is.
So
it's
less threatening when you're in your, you know, mid-20s or, you know. Than
right. And unfortunately, another thing, I guess, that was in his benefit, he's already out of high school. So I'm sure it would have been harder for him if he had still been in high school.
Yeah,
I mean,
and I'm sure he struggled with it, too, because, as I mentioned, I think guys, more so than girls, when the situation comes about, they really do question, is this going to happen to me?
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
I hear this all the time, you know, from young men.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried. My dad was like that. Am I going to be like that?
Right. Well, you know, there's the whole thing with where does it really come from, and is it biological? And if it's biological, then you know, that would.
Well, that's why there's a much higher number of women who have gay children with a gay parent than those who don't.
Mm.
Because, you know, statistically, it's said that 10% of the population is gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, across the board.
Mm-hmm.
But from a lot of the research that I've done, it's about 17% to 20% if you have a gay parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make sense because, you know, I strongly believe that gay is genetic. It's not a learned behavior.
Yeah.
People don't learn to be gay.
Yeah.
It's something that you're born with, and it's not something you have control over.
Yeah.
Right.
The only thing you have control over is being honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the choices that you make based on who you are.
Exactly.
Yep.
Being honest about it long before, you know, 25 years is over.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So, Misty, did you have any questions for Nancy and Amy?
Wow, I think they have. I think they've covered so much for our listeners. I'm just so appreciative of their honesty and how their reaction to this has all been. And I think she just brought up a wonderful point in regards to how that, and something that really spoke to me. You know, a father is a man you're supposed to judge all the other men by. And I can imagine how difficult that is. I just think that phrase is very important, especially in a girl's life, in a young girl's life growing up. So I can imagine that there is some difficulty around that.
Yeah.
I think the trust issue becomes the most prevalent issue in this case, wouldn't you say so,
mm-hmm.
Misty?
Absolutely. I would say, well, even speaking, I'm not speaking as a child, speaking as a straight woman that was married to a gay man, trust was definitely an issue with me.
Right.
So I can imagine someone younger, and you know, and I'm feeling like maybe, and I'm not here to put you down, Amy. I think I've got a few years ahead of you on wisdom,
mm-hmm.
but you know, being younger and trying to filter that out and figure that out, I can imagine that would have to be difficult, very difficult. 15 years old, I mean, you're just learning about relationships.
Right,
know?
Right.
So I think
yeah,
that would be very difficult.
Yeah, that's the extra burden. I feel badly for Amy that she had to deal with it because I think being 15 is hard enough.
Right.
Any of this.
How about in putting your life back on track, Nancy? Was trust a big issue?
Oh, yeah.
The relationship?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, not so much that I really worried that other men were gay. Although I have to say, I did question my ability because, you know, I mean, the joke always is obviously my gaydar was broken. Because I just really had no idea, but most people that knew him had no idea either, so that made me feel a little bit better.
Well, they're professional liars.
Yes. Oh, he's an expert. There's no doubt. Very manipulative, and yeah.
You know, when you
really
live every day of your life as a lie, it's very easy to fall into that pattern.
Yes, that
mm-hmm.
is very true. Yeah.
You know,
so
I'm
wasn't
not sure
really
they
so
poured
much
out
bad.
That way, but after time
right.
they become like that.
Right, right. But just trusting another person in general after being so... I trusted my whole life to him,
mm-hmm.
and I just it fell to pieces. It fell into a million pieces, and that was really tough to overcome.
And I think what it is that when you have a marriage to a straight man, a lot of marriages have problems, but sometimes they're fixable problems.
Right.
But with this particular situation, as I often tell women, you can't fix it.
Right.
It's broken.
And you don't even know. I mean, that was my other
beyond repair.
That I resented. I had no idea what the problem was.
And you kept trying to fix it.
Right. I was trying to fix something that I completely had no idea what I was even talking about. You know, I've said before, I thought we were building a marriage based on a foundation of concrete, and he knew the whole time it was built on quicksand.
Did he ever tell you he felt trapped? He felt trapped?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's
oh, yeah.
a common word I tell women. If you hear your husband tell you they feel trapped,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that's something that's common
oh, yeah.
to so many of us,
mm-hmm.
that our husbands
mm-hmm.
always feel trapped. Because they
yeah.
are trapped.
Oh, yeah.
They're trapped in a body that's not theirs and a
right.
life that's not
well,
theirs.
Well, exactly, yeah. They're trapped in the life that they've built for themselves, that they got themselves into so deep that they can't get out, you know,
but,
without destroying everything. So, yeah.
But Nancy, give us some encouragement. Tell us that your life has moved
well,
on.
No, things have definitely moved on. I'm in a wonderful relationship with a wonderful man, and he's very patient because, unfortunately, I still have a lot of contact with my ex because I still own a business with him,
uh-huh.
and that is incredibly difficult. So I haven't. I know that I would be much further along, you know, as far as moving past a lot of this if I didn't have daily contact with him.
Uh-huh.
But that having been said, I try very, very hard. I work on this all the time to really just try to keep those barriers very defined. And, you know, he's my business partner and, you know, a difficult one, but that's what he is. And I have some wonderful things in my life. I have a wonderful boyfriend. I have two wonderful kids. And,
the boyfriend thing took time, right? like to let people know it just doesn't happen overnight. You have to go through your own healing and your own trusting of yourself again.
Yes, absolutely.
Before you can have a successful relationship.
There were, I had a couple of other relationships before I found the right one. And that was all there. And, you know, that's very scary to be dating again. I mean, I got married very young, like I said, and I really had very little experience dating. And to have to start doing that again in your late 40s, you know, out of nowhere is just, that was very difficult for me.
And Amy, I'm so excited to hear you have a boyfriend.
I know.
Yeah, isn't it nice?
How long have you been seeing him now?
Since the end of August.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and is
great.
He worthy of you, Amy?
Yes, he is. He's fantastic.
You know, I'm going to have to check him out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
make my own decision.
He's been really good.
Whether he's good enough or not for you, because you're so special. You're just such a wonderful, unique woman.
Yeah. He really is.
Well, he better be.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good guy. We like him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
He's got the mommy stamp of approval, so that's important.
Well, you're easier than me, Nancy.
That's true.
Got to get my stamp of approval first.
That may be more
about
difficult.
Well, anyway, I want to thank both of you. Misty, did you have any other questions you had for Nancy and Amy?
I think they gave us a great overview of their perspective, and I just appreciate it. I'm honored you shared your story. I appreciate it from both of you and your honesty.
No, you're very, very welcome, and you know we're always happy to help. And we're
and we hope to have you back on our show, and I hope to see both of you in the spring.
Okay. Sounds good.
Are you coming
to New
York?
Oh, okay,
Yeah, we are.
Okay, I'll be meeting you there.
All righty.
All right, love you both.
Okay, take care.
All right, take care. Bye
bye. Bye.
Well, that was wonderful, wasn't it, Misty?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think this is one of the most important topics there is to cover because, like you said, this is one of the first things that women ask us when they come to us, you know, how do I deal with this with the children?
Oh, it's so hard, and especially so much of it depends on the husband and how responsible he is to the family. And like they were saying, you know, in the early portion of it, or, you know, Kathy was saying before, when these men first go out, and I understand it, you know, it's a new life for them. You know, I certainly understand the excitement of finally being who you are and not having to keep living that lie and being able now to be open about who you are. But you can't forget the children in the meantime. You know, those children have to take priority over everything. And I would like to mention that if anybody would like to call in and chat with us, our number here is 646-716-4893. And in case you have questions about children and how to cover it, you know, this is a great show to do it with. So another, you know, a few things that come up that I've found, Misty, and maybe you have also with your, you know, coaching, is, you know, what happens if the children, if the husband doesn't want to tell the children? Have you had that issue come up?
Yes, certainly, several times. And it just makes a hard situation tougher. I do believe, for many reasons. It complicates the whole issue even more because there's a lot of guilt sometimes placed on the straight wife, as well as the gay. I'm sure most of the gay fathers feel guilt, and that's one of the main reasons they don't want to tell their children.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in most cases, I'm not going to say all cases because there are unique cases. In most cases, I do think honesty is the best policy. Because it lets children grow up. You're nurturing your child and letting them realize that people are different. And you're going to, you know, teach them to be honest with them, even though you may have lived a lie for so many years. I think honesty is important to teach our children. I think it's so important to teach them.
All right. We do have another caller, so let's see who's calling us. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're with Bonnie and Misty.
Hi, this is Maggie. I called in a couple weeks ago.
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
I'm doing good, kind of hanging in there.
Good.
I've been to the two previous callers, and one of the things that I found very interesting was the whole thing about girls taking it better than boys do, taking the news that their father's gay, because my husband, we're not divorced yet, he seems to think just the opposite. That male children seem to, quote-unquote, get it a little better, especially the whole thing about having gay affairs, adulterous affairs. And I have shaken my head over his statements about this, you know, over and over again.
Well, do you have sons?
I have two sons, yes.
And do you discuss that with them? Do they know about
it? Actually, I haven't been able to. I did not tell them about their dad being gay because I didn't want to drag them into the middle of the whole divorce thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted my husband to tell them because I felt it was his responsibility to tell them, since it was his fault that the marriage was ending.
Right.
And then we went to mediation, and at mediation I got slapped with a non-disclosure agreement, so then I couldn't tell my children anything.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband did eventually, about 3 months later, sit the boys down independently of each other, and he did tell them that he was gay. But I really don't know exactly what he told them. They both have talked to me a little bit, and my children are grown. They're 27 and 31. You know, they're not teenagers still living in the house. But I did find out that my older son had suspected all along. He had found gay porn hidden in the garage when he was 15 years old. So
yeah,
for
and
over
I,
half
I do
of
want
his
to
life.
I just want to discuss that for a second, Maggie, that it's such an important concept that children usually know before their parents. And
yeah.
The fact that the gay father doesn't reveal this to the mother really puts them in a very bad position. I don't think that men realize this. You know, because
yeah, I mean,
the children
how do you go to your
I was gonna say the children have to keep a secret from their mother. You know, because they're afraid that if they tell their mother, then all of a sudden the marriage will fall apart and it will be their fault. So not only do they have to know that their father is living a lie, but now they have to live the lie with them also. And I think that's so unfair to do to children.
Yeah, it that shoves the kids in the closet.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, eventually the whole our whole family has ended up in the closet, you know. And, you know, I just feel really bad for my boys because, you know, they, like I said, my oldest son, for over half of his life, has known this and couldn't say anything to anybody or wouldn't say anything to anybody. And
well, at least he didn't say anything to you.
Yeah.
We don't know that he hasn't told anybody, but, you know.
So. Yeah, well, yeah. Well, actually, a good friend of his was with him when he found the gay porn.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at least this friend has sort of had some suspicions as well, which, of course, must have been awful for my son, you know, for his friend to have been, you know, saying,
sure.
Hey, do you think your dad is gay?
And also, I hear you have a heavy southern accent, so I'm assuming you live in the south, and
yes,
I know that in the southern region of our country that things are really not nearly as acceptable as they are here in the north. You know, when it comes to homosexuality.
And my husband's father is also, or was, he's deceased now, his father was a Southern Baptist minister. So that just added a whole nother layer of problems, you know, to things. My husband, you know, he knew when he was a teenager that he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
But we married in that era when everybody thought, well, if you just got married, that would make it go away.
That would solve it, right.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell men
and
that.
Obviously, we know that doesn't happen, so.
No, you can suppress it, and you can smash it down, and you can deny it, but in time it just is there. It doesn't
right.
go
and,
away. Your desire doesn't go away, and it's just a matter of time until it surfaces.
Yeah, and in my husband's case, I sort of liken it to, you know how you can put baking soda in a bottle and then you can add some vinegar to it and put a cork in the top of it and it'll build up pressure and blow the cork out. My kids used to do that, you know, for fun.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hold that cork down and force it into place, the pressure is going to keep building until eventually that bottle will explode.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened in my husband's case. He just exploded, and he went absolutely crazy. And, I mean, I know what he's done. If my children ever find out what their father has done, they will just absolutely be appalled.
Mm-hmm. You think, how's their relationship with him now? Has it
to
changed since they found out
It's not really. He was not that involved as a father. You know, he wasn't at all the Little League games like I was, and he wasn't, you know, he never coached anything. He did do some stuff with scouting, but not a whole lot. He was just not a very hands-on father.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt that, you know, I was the more active parent. And actually, for the first, I don't know, until my oldest son was about 9 or 10, my husband's job required a great deal of travel, and so I was basically a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would be gone, you know, sometimes. I remember one time he was gone for about 5 or 6 months. He would come home every other weekend.
Hmm.
And so, you know, when the boys were little, he didn't have an opportunity to build close relationships with them, or actually he didn't take the opportunity because he could have. I saw other fathers who traveled a lot,
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, they would spend a lot of time with their kids on weekends. Mine didn't. He was always, you know, his stuff was always more important. And even now, I realize that, you know, he hasn't seen my oldest son since Christmas. And he only lives 2 hours away.
Hmm.
But
do they talk
he's always
him, been, you know?
I think they talk occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But I visited last week with my son, last weekend. And I said, you know, have you seen your dad recently? And he said, well, no.
Is that unusual? I mean, in the past, did they see each other more often?
Not really. My son has been out of college since 2004, I guess, so 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I could count on one hand the number of times my husband has made an effort to go see our son, and I would still have fingers left over.
Hmm, that's pretty sad.
It really is.
Once again, where I say that sometimes I think there's a disconnect, you know, when you have a gay parent or a gay husband, and that's not to say there aren't some wonderful gay fathers out there, but I think a lot of them just don't get it, you know, because they're so absorbed in their own lives, and that's a priority, or just exhausted from living a lie every day.
Yeah, you talked about them being professional liars, and that's the truth. You know, mine has told just about everything but the truth.
Mm-hmm. So now that the truth is out, you know, even in a limited way because you're under a restraining order,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that once that comes to end, will you be able to discuss it more freely with your children?
I think so. I would love nothing more than to be able to sit down and talk openly with them, because we've always been able to sit down and talk about any and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So not to be able to talk about this is just killing me.
We have somebody else calling in, so hang on so you can talk with them also, okay?
Okay.
Hold on just 1 second.
Hi.
Hello.
Bonnie, hi, it's Kathy from just outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
I have a question for Maggie. You know, she sounds like she's defending him that he believes that male children accept their fathers more. Well, if they're so accepting, why have they not seen their father, and why do they not have a better relationship? I don't understand why she's contradicting what she's saying. Why does she?
I said I was surprised that y'all said that, because I didn't find that to be true in my case.
Oh, okay. I guess because you don't have daughters, you know what I mean? Like
I don't have daughters, so
yeah.
I only have male child experience. But no, yeah, I'm not defending that position. You know, I think it's difficult for any child to accept.
Well, I think also that Maggie was saying she doesn't really know how they feel. She's just repeating what her ex-husband is saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your children are older. You know, I think when if they know younger, they'll be more apt to get used to it as the years go by. Like my children are never going to know. My two older children, you know, will know their father is being straight and living in my house. My two younger children are you know, 8 and 9 years old. They're probably never going to know any different. He moved out when my daughter was 5, youngest.
Yeah,
so they're only going to know this.
I think what it comes down to for both of you is age really is an important situation. And I know that I always said, if you can tell them when they're young, you know, it's better, or wait till they're older, it's better. It's those in-between years, you know, the teenage years that are so hard for them to accept the whole situation. You know, when they're young, like you say, Kathy, that, you know, your children will never know any differently. You know, your two older ones will remember. But they know
yeah.
this information at a young enough age where they're able to absorb it and accept it. And they're also
And I'm amazed that both of these men, both of the other men, were so uninvolved in their child's lives, where my ex-husband was incredibly involved. We did everything together. We did the whole church thing, the parish thing, sports, everything. And then all of a sudden it was like, I'm gone. So it was...
Yeah, well,
he
we have a lot of
to
that.
The other extreme, which is
we
amazing
have,
to me that.
We do have a lot of women whose husbands were very involved with their families. Not these last two callers, but other women who will tell you that, you know, they really thought they had a very solid foundation of a family and a marriage. And then
well, I definitely didn't have a solid marriage. I wouldn't say we had the appearance of a marriage. You know, to me, it was over many, many years ago because I always felt there was something wrong with him.
Mm hmm. Even if you didn't
oh, and
exactly
I always
what
thought
was
there
like.
Was something wrong with me. So,
well, because I think you're led to believe that. Like I was, you know, initially I thought there was something wrong with him, and then I was kind of led to believe that it was me. Until I thought, I am not crazy. I am an educated woman. I know I'm not crazy. I know there's something else going on.
Well, I think also it depends on how long the marriage is. I think Maggie, you had told us last time you were in a long-term marriage, correct?
Right. Come May, it will be 37 years.
Wow.
Right. So that's a long time to be blindsided in a relationship where someone can't be honest and keeps telling you that there's something that's wrong with you.
And truly, before I see you.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Wow. I said, you know, truly, I was probably mad for like the first 6 or 8 months, and I really didn't know about the Straight Spouses Network or anything like that. I, you know, a very good friend of mine, when I told her, the very first thing she said to me was, wow, it must be really hard for you to have to forgive yourself. And I thought, oh, that's so what it's about,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me making a mistake.
Right, and I tell women that you can't look, you know, you have to get past that. Misty, can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Absolutely. I like what Bonnie says. I'm going to say it, I'm going to steal one of her phrases. She says that forgiveness needs to be earned, and I have to agree with that. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
if we don't forgive, sometimes it does keep us from moving forward. However, in my coaching with straight wives, where I work on forgiveness is with the wife. You've got to forgive yourself. Because
yourself, absolutely.
Absolutely. That's where, that to me, in the healing process, that's what's so important is to forgive yourself. I was an educated woman when I found out and discovered my ex was gay. But still, due to cultural things, society, you know, all these different things, I even blame myself for many things. People would make some of the most horrendous comments to me that I know all straight wives have heard. Oh, you know, you made him gay? How did you make him gay? And people were serious when they asked those questions. And, you know, so we do take on a lot of their guilt and a lot of their shame, and I think we take it on two different levels. I believe we take it on subconsciously and unconsciously. You know, before we know what is going on, I think we still register this stuff unconsciously. So forgiveness, I think, always has to start with ourselves, because we do blame ourselves with things. We blame ourselves for being stupid. And the only thing we done was fall in love with someone of who we thought they were.
And we trusted
However,
them and we love them, and that's why I tell women, you need to forgive yourself because you weren't involved in this. This was not your lie. This was their lie.
Right. I didn't sign on for this. I didn't have informed consent when I said I didn't.
Right. Well, I always say, you know, to women, it's not a matter of, you know, for better or worse, sickness or health, or for straight or for gay. That wasn't part of the marriage vow. And, you know, therefore, you know, this wasn't something that even if we thought was going to happen that we would have gone for. So, you know, we have to stop blaming ourselves and, you know, forgive ourselves and not think that we were stupid, because believe me, millions of women can't all be that stupid. We deal with really brilliant, you know, smart women who are just blindsided through this whole thing. You know, these guys are good. You know, they're good at, you know, they've built their own world, their own lives. And I just can't imagine how tough it is for them to live every day of their life living a lie. That has to be, to me, the hardest thing, to have to remember all the lies that you're telling on a day-to-day basis. And
well, eventually they all come out. I mean, nobody can do that forever, and this is the result of it. There's 7 million women, you know, 4 million women who this happens to.
I know, Kathy,
you know, that,
guess what? Some of these guys do it forever, and they'll never tell the truth, and they'll just keep torturing their wives. We meet plenty of women who are in that situation.
And Maggie Sussman had a gag order against her. You know what I mean? She couldn't even say anything about it. How unfair is that, you know, to put her in that predicament?
I think it's the worst thing I've ever heard. I mean, that
she has to
endure this by herself. And she can't.
I would go to jail. I would go to jail before I would have a gag order. I would put a sign on my front lawn if I was told I had a gag order, and then I'd take my consequences later.
Well, it's not going to be a lifetime gag order, right, Maggie?
I'm not sure how long it's going to last. He has violated it. So that's something that I have to discuss with my attorney, that since he's already violated it, because technically he violated it by telling our children.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's always a one-sided story when it comes to them.
Yeah, it's
always a double standard.
That's something I have to discuss with my attorney is, you know, since he has violated it, does that make the whole thing, you know, go away? Or
right. How
you know,
can he discuss
whatever.
It with your children and you can't discuss it with your children? That doesn't make any sense.
You know,
they can do whatever they want.
That's right. He's told his sisters that the reason that we're getting a divorce is because he had an affair. Now, he has just let them presume that it was one affair and that it was with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they, of course, they don't understand why I haven't fought harder to save the marriage. And so I've been made out to be the bad guy, and I can't do anything, you know. You know, I can't defend myself. Not that I have that great a relationship with his sister, but...
But still, you don't want to be held responsible for a marriage that failed when it had nothing to do
with it. Right, you know, I don't like the fact that I have lies being told about me. That that makes me very, you know, very angry. I'm dealing with a lot of anger issues right now, you know, based on that.
And that's good. Maggie, you can stay angry until things are resolved.
Anger keeps me going.
Yeah,
keeps me fighting.
You know, I think
eventually you have to start laughing again, though, about it, you know?
You know what it is, as Misty and I were saying, that, you know, forgiveness has to be earned. And just saying you're sorry doesn't do it. We're going to have caller join us in just a moment so she can join in with all of us. Hold on just one moment. And maybe she'll have questions for both of you. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Are you with us?
Yes.
Hi, this is Bonnie and Misty and Kathy and Maggie. And who are we talking to?
Emmy.
Eddie?
Emmy.
Emmy. How are you, Emmy?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. How can we help you?
I'm sorry calling about different question at the moment. Of course, it's not related to children. I have a question. I have a question, how to deal with a situation when your husband does not admit it, does not admit that he is gay, and then you don't have proof.
Well, you know, that's a situation that we would really be happy to talk about next week.
Okay.
We can give you a whole list of things on what to do with that.
Okay.
So rather than divert it, I think it's an excellent topic for our next show. What do you think, Misty?
Absolutely. That's a topic that does deserve its own show because there is so much information on it. Absolutely. So we'd love it to present that next week. That would be wonderful.
So, Emmy, do you think you can call us back next week?
I will try my best.
And if not, at least listen in because we will be making that our topic, what happens when your husband can't be honest with you.
Thank you so much. That would be very helpful.
We'll be very happy to make that our topic for next week.
Thank you.
So try to call in, and if not, you can always listen at a later time by going to our archives.
I will try my best to
call
in.
Okay, and we will definitely make that our topic for next week, and we'll give you a lot of hints on what to do.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care and have a good week. Hang in there.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Hi, ladies, and I think that is a very important situation also, that, you know, what happens when you just can't get that confession, you know, both of you later or sooner at least had the information, but so many women out there are never going to get it. You know, and I read a very important survey that was done with gay men, you know, a couple of years ago. And it was done with, I guess, close to 1,000 gay men. And they were asked, you know, do your wives know? And about 67% said, no, they don't know. And then the question was, is would you be willing to tell them? And it was really interesting that close to 50% said they will definitely never tell their wives. And about another 20% said that maybe they'll think about it, but they had no plans at the moment. But we're going to be joined by another. Yeah, we're just going to be joined by another caller at this time. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you for joining our show. And are you calling to talk about the children?
Yes, I'm calling to talk about the children. So when I started having to deal with having a gay husband, my children were, when I first realized he was gay, it was 2000, so 8 years ago, they were, I don't know, 12 and 11? Or
mm-hmm.
So I have a daughter and a son, and then in 2000, it took me a while to accept the fact what I was up against. And so in 2005, our son was 14 years old. So that was a very awkward time, especially
mm-hmm.
for him and for our daughter also. It was hard to cope with it because I was concerned my son would question his own sexual orientation. And just the embarrassment dealing with it at school, because kids at that age can be a little
cool.
Testy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So let me ask you this question. Do you think it, first of all, did your ex-husband ever tell them?
He, now he will, the kids tell me that he will say that he's bi-curious.
Well, that's the most they've gotten out of him so far, right?
Yes. Except for who the friends he hangs out with and his behavior, they both have a pretty strong gaydar.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all that he'll admit to.
And how do you
Are
feel?
Are you still married?
No, I'm not still married.
Oh.
My divorce was final about two and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think this kind of information affected them throughout their teenage mm-hmm. years?
The school counselor for our daughter, the school counselor told me that when parents stay together for the sake of the kids until they can get out of high school, by the time the kids get out of high school, the damage is done. And so for our daughter, it did a lot of damage. She turned to a lot of drinking and that type of behavior to cope with the emotions, to not have to cope with the emotions of it.
And I think that's a really good point that you brought up too, Teresa, about staying together for the sake of the children. A lot of women
mm-hmm.
make that mistake and thinking mm-hmm. that they're doing something on behalf of the children. You know,
mm-hmm.
children need role models in their life, and if they see a marriage that's filled with emotional void, fighting, unhappiness, this is the pattern. You know, and a lot of times they feel guilty and responsible for this. And
He told our daughter that it was her fault that we were not getting along and that we were not staying together.
Well, how much worse can you get than that? And
right.
And that's why I say for women who just hang in there and they're miserable and they're unhappy and popping pills on antidepressants just to stay in the marriage, you know, you have to see the big picture here and step outside. I always tell women, if your daughter was going with someone like your husband, would you tell her not to stay there? And inevitably, every woman says, absolutely, I would tell her, get
mm-hmm.
out of that relationship. So I say,
mm-hmm.
if it wouldn't be good enough for your daughter, why is it good enough for you? You know, don't you realize, you know, you're leaving your legacy behind because children model themselves after their parents.
Right.
And they think that those situations are okay because their mom stood for it and lived through it. So I'm really glad that you brought up that point. It really does affect that, you know, if you stay in the marriages more so than if you would have split up the marriages.
Right.
Because I'm sure you couldn't have been very happy during those days.
No, I wasn't very happy. For a long time, I wasn't very happy. My marriage was, I've heard the different ladies who've called in talk about how long they've been married. I was married for 25 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
So that's a lot of time invested.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think that, you know, how can you function as a good parent, no matter how hard you try to be a good mother, when you're so unhappy in a marriage, and not feel that the children are going to know? And that's going to be one of the topics that when we talk about next week, what do you do when your husband just won't tell you? That is certainly going to be an issue for us to discuss, Misty.
He never did. Right. He, and for the lady who called in earlier, he never did admit to me, and he still won't admit to me that he's gay. So sometimes you just have to trust your instinct and just pick up the pieces and move on with your life anyway.
I think Misty will be the first to tell you that. You have to trust your own instincts, right, Misty?
Absolutely. I really believe that we have that that sixth sense, that intuition, whatever it is that you want to call it. I don't care what you call it. If you call it that feeling in your gut of knowing, it's like Bonnie and I have discussed before, I have never had a woman come to me that has falsely accused her husband of being gay. And I don't think many women would resort to that maliciously. I mean, it's a hard thing to discuss. So, trust your instincts. I think that's your number one thing, is trust your instincts. I can't even begin to tell you how important that is, because, like I said, it ties into, I think if we don't register this consciously, I really think we register it sometimes subconsciously, and we keep putting it out of our mind, because who on earth wants to think that of the person they love and that they're married to? So it is hard. It's hard.
Teresa, let me,
it's got to be so frustrating. So frustrating for women whose husbands won't say.
How do your children feel now? How's their relationship with their father?
Our daughter has always been close to her dad, and she still is to some degree, although she lived with her dad when we separated. She lived with her dad, and our son lived with me. And our daughter heard him express so much anger and negative talk about me that she had that type of relationship with me also, negative. But now she's not living with her dad, and now her relationship with me has warmed up significantly. Our son tends to keep his distance from his dad.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were married and living together, there was a lot of turmoil. He threw a lot of temper tantrums, and there was just a lot of negative behavior that went on. And like I said a few minutes ago, our daughter turned to substances to numb her emotions. So she really wasn't, she didn't realize, and she was older and had friends that had license, and she had her license, so she was out and about a little bit. But our son was actually in the house and heard the screaming and heard the door slamming, and so he was exposed to that more, and he is not very close to his dad. He was glad when I had, actually both of them were glad when I finally got him moved out of the house.
Well, unfortunately, Teresa and Kathy and Maggie, we're really out of time, and this hour and a half ran so fast, didn't it, Misty?
Absolutely. I think this is a call to repeat later on in time, because
absolutely,
there's so many
next
topics.
Next month we'll do another focus show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to thank all of you for calling in and helping, you know, people understand the situation and reassuring other women that they're not alone with these struggles with the children. And
you're
as
very
I mentioned,
well,
in a few weeks we'll redo a show, and hopefully, Teresa, you can call back a little sooner and, you know, give us
more
details. And Kathy, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you also, Maggie, so much for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you.
Very well.
And listen, on behalf of Misty and I, we want to thank all of you for listening. Also, if you need support or help, you can go to my website at www.gayhusbands.com. We have wonderful support. We have support chat, newsletters, anything you need. Or if you have any questions or issues you'd like for us to discuss on future shows, that's what Misty and I are here for, right, Misty?
That's right. Let us know what you need.
All right. So, everybody, have a great week, and we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks a lot, and have a good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, friends. Bye-bye.